Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at winbridge.org. Our guest tonight is Dr. Vernon Nepe, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. So, Bob, what's running around in your mind today?
Well, as everybody knows, this past weekend was the Super Bowl.
Really?
And, yes, a few people may have noticed that. And an article came out a couple of days before and entitled, "Is There Divine Interest in Sports?" Caught my eye, clipped out the article. And it's not the first time I've seen it. It seems like there's a public religion research institute, and I think every year they write an article about this, because I seem to recall talking about it once before years ago. And basically, they did a survey, and they said roughly 25% of the people surveyed felt that God had an interest in the game and affected the outcome.
Based on what? Based on what did they say that? Like, okay, you're going to ask me, yeah?
Well, the question was if they believed that the Almighty had a major role in the outcome, you know, in playing.
You're talking about some religious god that can decree things.
Right.
Okay.
And
just clarifying.
And, of course, they break it down by group, and as you might expect, certain types of religions had a higher or lower percentage. I mean, white evangelicals, as you might expect, believed that 41% believed that God involves himself in the outcome of sports. I have a hard time believing that, you know. I mean, I don't think that a creator who created everybody supposedly in his or her image, in all shapes and sizes and colors, is picking sides in one of his so-called children over another. Makes no sense to me. And of course, if you believe that there's a God that is rooting for one team or making one team win, you have to believe in the opposite of what happens when one of the players breaks his leg on the other team. Is that God causing this broken leg or this injury to occur?
Right. Logic.
So I think we can. There's broader implications in the bigger question is whether there is a creator, or does the universe intervene in our everyday physical lives? I mean, what do you think?
Okay, so this is my take on this.
Okay.
If we're going to talk about divine intervention, and we're going to understand that we are all one consciousness, therefore we are all part of that divine interest in everything that's around us. As ego-driven people, we have an opinion about everything. And particularly sports, the way it's in the limelight, of course, will have an opinion on it. So, like the random number generators, when there are interests in one team that's stronger than the interests in the other team, maybe just that swaying the outcome of the game. And so then you'd have to agree on some level with the concept of the article, not with the way the article is actually written or intended to be understood. But the fact from our perspective about consciousness and what we know about consciousness and what we've learned from the scientific research is that we are all connected. We all are cut from the same cloth. We all are part of the divine. So we can, yes, influence the outcome of something, which is the power of prayer.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a valid point because we know there's a substantial evidence that psychokinesis is real, the ability of mind to affect matter. So if, as you say, you have an overwhelming number of people that are consciously rooting for one team, or against,
or
against one team, or hoping the same way that they may be praying for somebody's health, that's a legitimate theory that we can affect games. You know, and even more sinister, if you want to call it sinister, perhaps the same consciousness, the PK, can cause an injury.
You know, I'd hate to think that there's a dark side to consciousness, but there's got to be, I imagine. But to think that there would be that much of it, that it would have somebody have some sort of an injury, that doesn't sit well with me on two levels. One, just because it's mean, and two, because then that tells me that evil or negative can trump goodness, and that's not the way we wish the world to be or that we understand the world to be. So if every, and it would take so much, and we do also believe that people have free will and accidents happen. And so if an accident happened and somebody got injured, then there's that much more praying that the team would win, because now they've lost a player.
Yeah. Well, listen, we've interviewed a lot of, you know, scientists and researchers that have indicated that we have to remain open to the possibility that there's negative PK, you know, that
right.
You certainly, just as you can, heal somebody, you know, you very well may be able to cause distress, you know, and it's a scary thought to a lot of people. And that's why a lot of people, when you bring up this psi-related subject, they're fearful of it for that reason. So it's a legitimate concern. What about, what's interesting is also when, you know, we watch the news all the time, and every once in a while there's a great story and somebody gets saved from a disaster, you know, whether it be rescued from a fire or a drowning, whatever, and they interview the people involved and they say, well, it's a miracle, you know, that there's inferring that there's, some sort of divine intervention on that. But you know, yet when you see the report of a tragedy where somebody unfortunately is not revived or not saved, rarely do they report any kind of divine intervention. You know,
no,
it seems to me we can't have it both ways.
Right.
Well, we have a great and extremely well-credentialed guest tonight, Dr. Vernon Nepi. So we're going to go to a break so we can bring Vernon on. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Windbridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Vernon Nepe. Our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at winbridge.org. Bob?
We're very happy to welcome back Dr. Vernon Nepe. Dr. Nepe is an internationally peer-recognized psychopharmacologist. He's a forensic medico-legal specialist. He's a psychiatrist, neuroscientist, phenomenologist, epileptologist, consciousness researcher, dimensional biopsychophysicist, philosopher, creativity expert, author, playwright, and professional speaker. And I know I left some things out. He's a world-recognized pioneer in the disciplines of behavioral neurology and neuropsychiatry. He's a world authority on deja vu experiences. He's written more than 10 books, 2 plays, more than 500 publications, and over 1,000 invited lectures in 13 countries and media interactions in a large number of countries. And his website is his name, Vernon, V-E-R-N-O-N, Nepe, N-E-P-P-E, .org. Vernon, welcome back. It's a pleasure to speak with you again.
Hello, Bob. It's good to talk to you as well. I really enjoyed the last time we chatted, and I must tell you, your program is outstanding.
Well, thank you. And, you know, where I wanted to begin, obviously, you have spent countless hours now in the pursuit of a theory that possibly can explain existence itself. And, I mean, you obviously have many other interests and areas of expertise. What's driving you in your current quest? I mean, and what benefit will the knowledge that you're trying to uncover have for mankind?
Wonderful question. Let me first of all say it's not really a theory, because as far as we're concerned, this is something that is beyond a theory. There are some mathematical components to it and some components in physics that demonstrate it as proof, not as a theory. There are a lot of theories like string theory that one cannot prove, this one can prove. So to answer your question, yes, we've spent thousands of hours. We've never had a penny of funding. Not that we would not want it, but it just so happens we've been so busy, myself and my colleague Dr. Edward Close, that we've been working on this program and on this kind of model or paradigm shift. What's driving us is this is the song we have come to sing in this world. We know it is extraordinarily important. We know after something of the order of about 5.5 years of directly working together since our first transcript of our book and 8 years working together, we know our model is correct, because every time we test it, it becomes stronger and stronger, and nobody has been able to refute any component of it. So what's driving us? What is driving us is the truth and the fact that this has enormous impact, not only in terms of the world and in terms of knowledge, but also in terms of self-development and self-improvement. We're providing answers that make sense.
And I know that you're currently, you and Dr. Close are working on a lay version of some of your earlier work, and I guess it's illustrative by the title that it isn't a theory, because the title is Solved, or at least that's the working title that I see. So
I understand. We battled around to find a title, and the title is Solved, S-O-L-V-E-D, and then there are the subtitles of the different books that we are writing, and it gets bigger and bigger. There are roughly about 14 small books that we are writing, and we've made enormous progress then. And then it has a subtitle, Self-Improvement Series, Answers That Make Sense. Mm-hmm. And these indeed are answers that make sense. But we hope to have them out in the next couple of months, the first lot, and it's all solved.
And we look forward to the release of that. I mean, your work demonstrates that by applying math, that we exist in 9 dimensions, even though we can't necessarily register these other dimensions in our physical brains. Does that mean that the past, the present, and the future are all coexisting in these dimensions, but most of the time we're not aware of this coexistence because we only experience a finite part of this infinite?
Wonderful question. Yes, it does. It means that depending on the dimensional level you're dealing with, you will experience reality very differently. We exist in a reality of length, breadth, and height, 3 dimensions of space, in a tiny moment, the present in time. So we call that 3S, 3 dimensions of space, 1T, one moment in time. And of course, one can say there's a past, present, and future. And in our model, we think we cannot prove this one mathematically. There is some cogent evidence that there are 3 dimensions of time as well. And then you mentioned the infinite. So we have the finite of 9 dimensions, 9, so to say, quantized dimensions, 9 pieces, like little bits on a computer, like little pixels, inside, embedded in an infinite reality that is continuous. And that continuous reality of the infinite contains everything. And eternally, in other words, there's no difference between any kind of time, past, present, and future. It all exists. All of space exists. It extends forever. And all of consciousness exists. It's an informational source, a source of wisdom or source of understanding that exists forever. So this is what the infinite is all about, the continuous infinite, but it contains those nine dimensions, and those nine dimensions contain this 3S1T, or the restricted one. You know, we cannot experience X-rays, but that's still in our three dimensions of space. This is how it's all about. So you've summarized it very well.
So if somebody has an out-of-body experience or a near-death experience or some other phenomena of consciousness, are they gaining access to another one of the nine dimensions?
Wonderful question. We think so, and it's probably not another single one of those nine dimensions. It's probably several. So we use the word domains, dimensional domains. So we've spoken about this 3S1T, these four dimensions we experience as dimensional domains. We go out of body. It must be in some kind of way linked with that 3S1T because we come back and we can recall some of it. Maybe sometimes we can't recall it, don't even know we were out of body, and maybe that's completely different dimensions. So it might be that one's dealing with dimensions 5, 6, 7, or something along those lines. We don't know which ones. But certainly near-death experiences and out-of-body experiences, we think very much are different dimensional experiences. So our experience is relative to those different ones. Doesn't mean to say we're brighter or we know more. It's just it is relative to a different framework. And our framework might be that our experiences appear very, very different and we interpret it differently. So we've differentiated here experience from existence. Enormously important.
So, I mean, this, I know there's been a theory that I have read many times that the reason, one of the purposes of our physical brain is to act as a, you know, like a reducing valve, a filter, because if we didn't have such a filter and we were bombarded with this sea of information, it would be more than we could handle. Is that something you would agree with?
Yes, broadly. This is Henry Bergson described, of course, a filter and spoke about a filter in terms of the brain. And one mustn't think that a better is necessarily from the bigger. In other words, we could be overwhelmed. And this way, we are just experiencing that kind of reality that we can handle. But there are outside components to that reality. And a lot of those outside components are consciousness. And maybe this experience of extra consciousness allows us to be more aware of realities and to be more creative, to understand more. We've used out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences. Of course, survival after death is another area that seems very relevant in terms of this hypothesis, and I'm calling it a hypothesis there. And then, of course, the whole component of order in the infinite is something that is very, very important.
So you mentioned survival of bodily death. So if we shed the physical body and our consciousness, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, travels to another dimension and expands our reality. In that sense, are we moving closer to the infinite?
Very good question. I think that the evidence for survival, first of all, is very, very cogent indeed. I think it is actually absolutely overwhelming if one looks at the scientific data. There will be colleagues who disagree with me, but this is how I see it. So one's got to try and explain it. I am not going to say one travels or gets closer to the infinite. What I am going to say is that if you start off with a nine-dimensional reality and one is only experiencing, say, four, and that is four physical dimensions. One may be able to move away from those four physical dimensions, and one is experiencing a different kind of reality. It does not mean to say one is actually traveling there, because it's there all the time. Those nine dimensions are always there. It's just some of them are covert. It's the same thing here. We're just moving to a different reality experience, which is survival. Now, you mentioned the infinite. Is one getting closer? It's an area we've battled over. We don't think that as physical humans, or as humans in a discarnate state, or allegedly discarnate state, if you prefer, that we are directly experiencing the infinite. We think the infinite is experiencing in a way or impacting all the time. And we think we're influencing that infinite reality. But this is all still in the finite. It's like a mirror. It's hard to get into the infinite unless we have this absolute infinite continuity, this absolute unit of, if you want, communicating with space, time, and consciousness in all its dimensions. And of course, this introduces the whole concept of spirituality and who can impact. So yes, I think we're getting closer, but it doesn't mean to say we have any special kind of knowledge. We're just experiencing that reality relative to how close we are.
There are of course, many interesting things that that I have learned in reading some of your work. And one thing I never noticed before, you mentioned that you were discussing the special properties of the elements of life, carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, sulfur, and nitrogen. And if you spell it out, it spells chosen. And these chosen elements are, you point out, are components of biblical healing oils like myrrh and frankincense. Interesting.
Yes, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's quite remarkable. And one can extend this all the way through and say, what are these special qualities? What are these qualities, even at a biblical level? Why was it that incense in some kind of form was of such importance? And these are certainly the elements of life that have special mathematical and physical and element properties that are different from any of the other compounds and any of the other elements, or almost any of them, because neon and helium, being inert elements, also fit this, but they don't react. And then there is also calcium and magnesium as fundamental elements of life, but not as fundamental as the ones that spell out chosen. And we've actually hypothesized that silicone has these properties, and if we can prove silicone has these properties, we can further empirically demonstrate our model. But most fascinating, even in the most fundamental elements of life, there are some special properties. And this supports the fact that we are dealing with something. In fact, when you start looking at it, what to me is staggering, it's absolutely astonishing, is the fact that you cannot have parts of these. You cannot have part of an atom or part of an electron or part of a neutron or its contents, neutrons and protons of quarks. You have to have full components. And unless you have full components, these atoms would fly away. They would be completely unstable. And this is what is so amazing, because it starts producing a situation where you say, at the start, you had to have a whole. And the essence of our model is this wholeness, that existence is a whole, that it consists of consciousness, certainly, and that consciousness begins at the beginning, that there's this infinite reality and these multiple dimensions. Absolutely amazing. And the best part about it is you can demonstrate this mathematically. We're not guessing. And the mathematical link-up is with some of the physical realities we have.
And so perhaps when we refer to things as extrasensory, maybe that's the wrong term. I mean, what you're showing is that there is no separation. You know, everything is simultaneous, and there's a space-time consciousness element, you know, to life. So consciousness is always there. So extrasensory is really a misnomer in that sense.
I have no doubt it's a misnomer. Everything is relative to one's dimensions. And we use the term extrasensory because it's convenient. We cannot understand it, applying our five conventional senses, for example. But it doesn't make it extrasensory. It just makes it possibly relatively non-local, so to say. It is all relative to the particular dimensional framework. But people use the word extrasensory. They love the word extrasensory perception. They love the word psychokinesis. But it's a very complex area.
And everybody loves the term paranormal. So
paranormal is wonderful. But, of course, same thing applies.
Yeah.
Same thing applies to miracles. Same thing applies to the supernormal. It might be paranormal or supernormal or miraculous relative to our 3S1T, to our physical experience that we have because we know no other. But it's as paranormal as in the olden days X-rays were.
True. Who could perceive of looking into somebody's body through film? Before we came on the air, Fran and I were having a discussion about an article I saw in the newspaper, and they questioned, is there divine interest in sports? A large percentage of people think that there's a God or a creator that intervenes in the outcome of sporting events. We were talking in the sense that we know that in psychokinesis and the ability of mind to affect, you know, matter, that it's very likely that if more people are rooting for one team, that they could influence, the outcome of a game. How does that relate to what you've shown to be true?
It's a very complex question. Let me just say this. As a scientist, I try to differentiate between proof, for example, mathematical proof or empirical demonstrations at a physical level or beyond that at the various dimensional levels, and speculation. So given that, I would say this is speculation. However, what we have demonstrated is that there is such a thing as extra dimensions, and amongst those extra dimensions are consciousness. And consciousness impacts and influences everything. It doesn't need to impact and influence just us living human beings. It may impact even at the level of a stone. It may impact even at the level of the atoms and the subatomic particles. And I say it may impact. In fact, we know it does impact because we have demonstrated a third substance called Gimel, which we think at certain levels is pure consciousness. Now, given that, it is not a stretch to say that maybe rooting for teams, thinking it, imagining it, is impacting change. And there, I suppose, would be some empirical support for this, although there would be other hypotheses. And the support would be there is an enormous advantage. It's very, very strange to home field advantage, to those who are rooting for a particular team, maybe more than the away teams. Of course, you could say that maybe the referees are intimidated or whatever, but it's just a rather interesting phenomenon. So I think your question is a good one.
And it's fascinating stuff. We are talking with Dr. Vernon Nepi. You can learn a lot more about Vernon and his work and the upcoming book, Solve, the series of books. You can go to vernonnepi.org, Vernon and then N-E-P-P-E.org. Stay with us, a lot more to talk about, and we'll be back after a few messages.
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Windbridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more. The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's Dr. Parisetti in one word.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you're just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Vernon Nepi. Our sponsor is the Windbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at windbridge.org. We'd like to remind our listeners to check the events page on our website regularly for all events and announcements. That's www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Our first webinar of the year is Spirit Talks and Spirit Walks, After-Death Communication in the Laboratory, presented by Dr. Julie Beischel and Mark Bacuzzi on February 15th, 2017 at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We are gearing up for our first fundraising raffle, so buy your chances for our annual Holiday of the Earth raffle with the drawing set for Earth Day, April 22nd. You can win as many as 5 medium readings with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, Bobby Allison, Heidi Jaffe, Nancy Marlowe, Ginger Quinlan, or Dustin Libers. Our annual grief retreat is open for super early bird registration on the website. We do recommend booking early, as last year the rooms at the retreat filled and some attendees had to stay off-site. If you're planning to join us this July 14th through 16th, be one of only 50 guests who come from across the globe to spend a weekend in a beautiful and peaceful setting with like-minded people, all learning that our loved ones are still with us. The weekend is all-inclusive and features spirit communication with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Rebecca Ann Lo Cicero, Joe Peretta, and Gina Simone, working alongside our other professionals and facilitators. It also includes a variety of activities and small breakout workshops, all designed to heal. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Great Nonprofits, and WellZoo. Just remember to name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. And lastly, if you're a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at businessmembership@forevermemberfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Back to you, Bob.
And we're back with Dr. Vernon Nepi. Vernon, what about the question of free will? I mean, obviously, it's a topic that comes up very often. I'll ask you. I mean, do we have free will? And if we have it, is it limited, or are some things set in stone? And can we change them? How does your model address this?
Yeah, according to our model of TDVP, free will is fundamental. It's relatively fundamental. In other words, it's not the basic axiom, but it's an extension of that. I think that it works something like this. And again, we're moving towards piecing together little pieces of a jigsaw puzzle, and we're moving towards some level of speculation, but not too much. We've spoken about the fact that we have multidimensional time. And I like to look at it like branches on a tree. One is moving across in one's physical reality, and at any point in time, we can make choices in terms of those branches. And those choices, clearly, would imply some kind of free will. But we're moving along these branches in a major, massive, massive forest. And although an apple dropping from that tree might impact the sound of all the forest, it's a limited degree of impact. A so-called higher being, a creator, an infinite reality might be impacting all of that forest. The analogy I'm using here effectively is that, yes, we have free will. It's limited free will. It's limited in terms of our choices within the fabric of our branches of our tree, which are impacting other branches of the tree and can really produce profound change in our world. But we not necessarily are absolute in terms of that free will. But we can use a lot of those absolute qualities in terms of communication, particularly now that at a physical level we have such aspects as radio as television, as other news media, and that can reach many, many people. So that's the physical free will. And obviously, if one moves across to different domains of those nine dimensions, there again is that choice. But it might be a different kind of choice, because the separation between the self and the not-self, say in a model of out-of-body experience, near-death experience, survival after bodily death, I'm just using these as models, that separation between self and not-self is very, very different. And we have a mathematics in that, something that was mainly developed by my colleague, Dr. Edward Close, and I've been able to participate in the further development of this called the calculus of dimensional distinctions. So it's not just speculation. There is some mathematical component to this as well.
Yeah, it's you know, as I listen to you, many people are under the impression that you know, mathematics and the realm of spirituality are mutually exclusive. One couldn't possibly be related to the other, but yet they seem to be intertwined.
Yes. In fact, one of our fundamental hypotheses, and we think there's a lot of support here, and this goes all the way through to Pythagoras and Plato on the one hand versus Aristotle on the other hand, we think that mathematics is part of a fundamental component of reality, that mathematics is not just there for calculation. It is something that is meaningful, that this is one of the reasons why we have all these different special constants. And therefore, it's not something that you can easily separate from spirituality. And you've already seen a lot of the basis of our model, and this is why we're calling it the self-improvement series, Answers That Make Sense. We're throwing in the term solved because a lot of this is solved. All of this, in a way, is showing how science is fundamentally linked with spirituality. It's not separate. It is actually closer than we ever thought it was. You know, the scientist says, well, spirituality, that's absolute nonsense, and how dare you talk about it? Well, the problem is their model of science is very limited. It's limited by Karl Popper's idea that everything has to be falsifiable. If you can't falsify it, it is not science. And there are a lot of areas of science that are not falsifiable, but feasible. So the area of evolutionary theory is based on feasibility. The area of biology and medicine is all of feasibility. The area of psi research very often encounters that. The areas of extra dimensions, feasibility. So we have a whole model. We actually call it LFAF, lower dimensional feasibility, absent falsification. Sounds complex. It is, but it extends science. And suddenly science interfaces with spirituality, or let me say spirituality interfaces with science and scientific knowledge. Fascinating. But this is another one of our reasons why we're talking about is a lot of self-development and self-improvement in our model, and a lot of answers that make sense in those books solved.
Yeah, and that it can and it will make a big difference in the way people view not only the universe in which they reside, but their role in it. If I were to ask you, does everybody have a purpose in this physical blip of time? I mean, or is some people's lives just random?
Wonderful question. Again, I'm going to say, I'm not giving the proven answer in terms of mathematics or science. I'm giving more the philosophical answer based on our experience that can fit into a jigsaw. I think everyone has a purpose. I think there is a meaningful coincidence in everything that is in general happening. There might be some random events, but they are not necessarily meaningful in terms of the fact that consciousness is not pertinent or very pertinent for it. But I think we all have our own infinite purpose, that we are all linked in a very special way, and that just like free will, where we have our limited but very selected free will, we can grow. And I see this as a purpose. I see it in terms of not only actualization of self, but transcendence of self and utilization of meaning. But this is more a philosophy than a science, but it's based on our science.
And, I mean, it goes along with that, that if we have a purpose and we know that there's an interconnection, then we can influence the purpose of others.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And these are the branches, and they're intertwining all the time, of that metaphorical tree I spoke about, that tree of life.
Yeah. What about this concept of, I know we don't have much time, but and it's a broad topic, but in the spiritualists all talk about a soul in unequivocal terms, that we have a soul. Some people have defined soul as consciousness, and some people defined it as the mind, various terms, but the essence of what we are. I mean, how does that relate in your model? Do we have a soul?
We have an essence. That essence is all of those nine discrete finite dimensions embedded within the continuous infinite. And the continuous infinite, you might want to interpret as a divinity. You might want to say that this is why we cannot directly impact the infinite continuity, but we can impact it indirectly. Now, look at it this way. If we have an essence, part of that essence has to be a potential separation of one's physical self from the rest of oneself, but it still all exists. It's not experienced, but it all exists. That, to me, is what we would conceptualize as the soul. I'm differentiating this because I'm not being Cartesian in terms of separating out mind and body. The mind is separate from the body. The mind is separate from the brain. It's all one. The physical brain is part of our whole neurological system in terms of responses. Absent the physical brain, we still exist. Part of that existence, some people are calling the soul. It's not a separate component. We have a different manifestation of that soul, like a butterfly and a chrysalis. We're just metamorphosing in a way. We're moving to other dimensional fabrics. But we are not separating our mind and our body, or not our soul and our essence, because that's part of the essence. Very important. It means that we don't need to insert a soul to begin our physical life. It always exists.
Yeah,
life always exists.
That's a wonderful explanation. We unfortunately are out of time, and perhaps I can continue this conversation with your research partner, Dr. Edward Close. I know he's going to be on the show next month. Vernon, thank you so much for being with us. I encourage everybody to go on vernonepi.org, wait for the release of the book, the series of books, Solved, and you will find many answers to many questions that you've been asking. Thanks for being with us, Vernon, and I hope to talk with you again soon.
Thank you so much, Bob. It's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you for those wonderful questions. Rather challenging, though.
Well, if anybody can answer them, it's you. So you're used to being challenged. Have a good evening, Vernon.
Thank you so much. Good day.
Good day.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Alex Hanna, Veronica James, Rich LeBly, Lauren Ramnath, Vince Mattia, Isabel Ginsberg, Diane Archangel, James Rafferty, Donna Mello, Stanley Mullen, Marianne Pierzga, Glenna Irwin, David Haith, Michael Tim, Helen Montalto, Cynthia Post, Evelyn Ingraham, Linda Ellis, Watona Robards, Alice Young, Letha Beam, Eugene Brown, Chase Young, Rod Sutherland, Paul Robards, Janice Barber, Christy Richardson, Michelle Hunter. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.